Alice lived in a place, and I thought it was very fitting for today. Alice lived in a place where it had a history of being a gold rush territory. People would go there, even in modern times, would go and just try to mine and look for things, and they come up with like a little bit. And she said she could never find out why people were so fascinated and gave away their whole lives just to chase this little bit of gold. She didn't understand that. And it just kind of stuck with her. And so, but it changed one day. And one day, as the story goes, one day, Grandma Alice struck gold. And here's the story of how that happened. She got gold fever as well. She was in her own backyard polishing a stone. It was a large boulder, too big to move. And it was set in her garden. So she decided to make that the center point of her garden. It was one of those stones, round and smooth, tumbled by eons of wind and ice and water, thickly embedded with glittery chunks of mineral. She was polishing it with sandpaper. Her logic was that since she couldn't get rid of the thing, she may as well try to beautify it. Trying to remove the scumble of the dullness on its surface and hone in on its lustrous sheen would make something beautiful as a centerpiece of her garden, which she was going to make it the centerpiece of. But she got more than that. As she sanded, she noticed thin sifting of gold gathering on the stone. She pressed the moist tip of her finger into it and pulled up a caking of gold dust. Her heart began to pound and race. She sanded faster and faster, faster, leaning her whole body into it, and more gold disappeared. She now was scrubbing that rock like a bloodstain, stone sweeping strokes, bone and muscle bent into its hardness, forcing it to yield. Gold accumulated rapidly. She caught the virus in one swoop, understood with perfect instinct what all the time she had dismissed as sheer folly. Growing men squandered everything else, homes, farms, and families and reputations, and flinging themselves headlong into reckless adventure, spending their years burrowing beneath tree roots and grubbing through silt beds. But now she too had it, gold fever. She was going to be rich. She stopped for a moment to wipe her brow and to rest a spell, and that's when she noticed something was wrong with her wedding ring. The top side was normal, but underneath, the part that nestled in the crease where her finger joined her palm, wasn't. In the band, it was thin as a cheese cutter's wire, thin as filament. She had nearly sanded her wedding ring completely off. All that gold was mere filings. It was the remnants of her heirloom, treasure reduced to dust. It was fool's gold. He writes, "I laughed the first time my wife told me that story, but only the first time. After that, it made me sad. It's sad for its own sake. An aging woman, once more giddy as a schoolgirl, heady with a sense of windfall, dreaming of a new dress, a real holiday, and the next moment, crestfallen, stingingly with a shame over her coveting and naivete. But it's so sad because much of my own life, I have repeated again and again Grandma Alice's mistake. I've squandered treasures in pursuit of dust. I've eroded precious, irreplaceable things in my effort to extract something that's not actually there. I've imagined I was on the tail of groundbreaking discovery, only to find that I'm at the tail of the end of a hard loss. Here's a few. At times, I never swam in the cold lake with my children, or made a snowman, or baked sugar cookies with them, or lingered in my bed with my wife on a Saturday morning, or visited the sick because I was in a hurry. Well, that's it. I was in a hurry to go, and I don't remember why. You see, that's just it. I don't remember. I was just in a hurry. I've been in a hurry most of my life, always rushing to get from where I am to where I'm going, always cocking my arm to check my watch, doing it that habitually, mechanically, and mindlessly, always leaning heavy on the gas in the passing lane, angry that the driver in front of me doesn't share my sense of urgency, that she's in no particular hurry and can't seem to imagine a world where anybody would be. Always fuming, always having to wait in bank lineups and grocery checkouts and road construction zones. Sanding away my wedding band. Here's the thing. All the hurry has got me is no further ahead. it actually has set me back. It's diminished me. What does that seem like your life? Yeah, it's really funny. Every week when I preach on something, God tests me on this. And last night, there was somebody who I guess never drives in the snow, and I was going to get the two older girls from dance, and somebody was going down Red Toad Road at like 15, 20 miles an hour. And I was saying, I'm so glad I have no place to go. It's wonderful. Right? If you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you too. I was furious. Where did you get your license? Can you please move? Beep, come on, move it. Get off the road. And then when they get ready to turn, they put on the blinker like an hour before they get there. I'm like, oh, please. You know, I'm like, oh, Lord, call down a plague on this person and get them off the road. You know, anything you can get to get them out of the way. Am I right? And then they go all the way to almost 40, and they turn at that little road there that has no bridge. You know, used to have a bridge, all you old-time people. Razor strap, there we go. So you're going there, and yes, there's some weird names around things around here. But, and you're like, couldn't you turn back there about a mile or two or three? And you're just flipping out, you know, because I was in a hurry. I'm like that all the time, whether I go get my girls or whether I go get my son. I'm like, you know, I got to go. You know, when I used to have a CRX, my senior year in high school, great gas mileage. Didn't put anything else in there but me and Melissa, and it was great on gas mileage. But when I got out of college, I decided to get a Isuzu Rodeo, so I went from a four-cylinder to a V6, and I ended up with a lot of tickets then, a lot of them. I was like just stacking them up. And it's because I'm always been in a hurry, but you know, when I started out with a Chevette, you had to make sure that the hamster was running for a while before you got going. And you floor it and go, ooh, ooh, you know, felt like Fred Flintstone running my feet out there. But we are always in a hurry. Life seems to be always in this hurry, and we're a lot like this story of Grandma Alice. Oh, I don't know why people's in a hurry, but then we see a glimpse, and we actually take our treasure in life, and we turn it to dust. And as I was looking at some of this stuff, I recognized that as we've done in weeks past, there are some symptoms of busyness. And I have that on your sheet underneath rush, rush, hurry, hurry. Here's some symptoms. Number one, your calendar or days are full or packed. From the time you get up in the morning, from the time you go to bed, packed. And if you have a brief time in the middle, you will find yourself asleep or nervous that you don't have anything to do. Okay, there's one. Number two, you are agitated at the least little thing. You fight, you argue, and you go off quickly when you're annoyed. Okay, anybody getting this now? Anybody feeling comfortable? You in the same boat as me right now? Okay, here we go. Next thing, you are run down. Number three, you are run down, you are burned out, and you are physically exhausted. And here's how you can tell whether you're that, because we all deny that we are those things. Here's how you tell that. You ready? If you get a couple brief moments, you daydream about running away. Been there? I have actually said to Melissa, one day I'm going to disappear. Just look for an island somewhere, okay? My passport will be missing, just to let you know. I'm not like going to Baltimore or to Philly. I'm gone, right? Anybody ever thought that way? It would be just nice to disappear off the face of the earth. Nobody wants you, no kids yelling at you, no honey-do list, no nothing. Just disappear. Okay? You have difficulty focusing. In other words, that you need to, yeah, that's right. You see what I mean? You have difficulty focusing on anything, don't you? Right? So you're not focusing now, okay? So you have difficulty focusing on anything. You're here, you're here, you're here, you're here, you're here, you're here. At times, I feel like I've got several different tennis ball machines at me, and I'm going boom, boom, boom in my life. Does anybody feel like that way? Anybody? Am I the only one here? Okay. We feel this way constantly in our life. We tend to wander off in our thoughts. So these symptoms, if you related to one symptom that I gave you, raise your hand. If you related to two symptoms, raise your hand. Three, four, All right, welcome. Welcome to busyness. So everybody has this symptom, a symptom of busyness. And the question that we've asked, that actually we've said it in statement form the last few weeks, there's an app for that. And we talk about the Word of God is the original app store. And when we talk about apps, what are we talking about? Applications. We can hear all this stuff. We can know this. I've had people say, you know, I know so-and-so. They read through the Bible cover to cover. I'm like, good. Did they apply any ounce of it? Because you can read it and you can know about it, but if you don't apply an ounce of it, it ain't going to matter a hill of beans. And so that's what we're doing. We're applying this to our lives. We've applied this with anger and greed and other kind, and jealousy. And now we're going to see, is there an app for busyness? That's the big question. And here's the good news. Yes. What is it? There's an app for that. And the app for that is one of the oldest apps in God's app store. It's thousands of years old. And it comes from Exodus chapter 20. It was read to us. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to start with verse 8 through 10. And so here's what we have here. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not work, neither you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor your foreigner residing in your town. So let's stop right there and find out where we are here. So that's our starting point right there. The app, here we go. The app for busyness is this. Sabbath rest. Say that with me. Sabbath rest. Say it again. Okay, very good. I'm not just talking about rest. I'm not just saying vacation or rest. Because if you're like me, if you go on vacation, you need to come back and have a vacation from your vacation. You ever just pack stuff up? Like, we've been to Disney several times, and you pack everything up and you ride. Judy got the joy of driving with us one time, packed in our van all the way down, and it was an experience. Am I right? It's wonderful with five kids and driving, and just it's a joy, right? And it's good. And we leave at night so that they sleep the most they can. Next day we're dead tired. One time we went down, didn't tell them where we were going. We got there in the morning. They had slept all night. We didn't sleep at all, and we stayed in Disney till 2 a.m. I was dead tired, right? And then I had to drive back. And then we planned on coming right back the next day, but because we're really dumb. But we ended up finding a place and ended up staying for almost a week. And, you know, I drove back and I was dead tired. Some of you go away and I've said, next vacation, I just want to sit and do nothing. Okay? But it's not that either. Sabbath rest is completely different than those things. Regular rest is not refreshing. And that's why God created Sabbath rest, created it totally for, because he knows how we're put together. You know, when we look at this, Sabbath rest is Sabbath rest. That's the app. And as I said, regular rest is not refreshing, but God Sabbath rested. Look at this verse that we have from Exodus chapter 20. It says, Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, for 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, if you're like me, you want to ask the question, was God like tired and needed a break and said, oh, I've done some work, I created everything, so I think I'm good for a day off. You know, does he say like TGIF or TMIF, thank me, it's Friday? You know, I mean, is that where he is? What do you think? God is not tired and worn out by any means. So why did he do this? You know, and because he knows we do that. Have you ever talked to somebody and say, oh, you need to rest, you need to take some time off, and they say, I'm fine, I don't need rest. Anybody ever said that? I just keep on going, I'm good, I don't rest. I only sleep 3 hours a night, I'm good. Right? Anybody? Okay, when we see that, why did God create Sabbath then? God created Sabbath rest for one purpose, to create balance in our lives, to get us into a rhythm and to keep us going. When you are sleep deprived, like Melissa worked last night, and then she'll work today, and I know Janet works nights. They're like the walking, you don't have to wait till February for the Walking Dead. That's how you are when you work nights and you stay awake all day. Am I right? And they will say stuff. The other day, Cassie was cutting the girl's hair, and Melissa had worked all night, and all of a sudden, we're sitting there, and I was telling her about somebody who had passed away, and she named somebody else's complete name, and I said, who are you talking about? You just told me she died. I said, no, I didn't. She's like, yes, you did. We're having this argument over something I didn't even say. But she heard it. She goes, I don't know. And so the rest of the day, I'm saying the same name that she said, anything. And she's like, oh, just shut up. And then I go up to see her at bed, and she's out, you know, because that's how you are. If you are deprived of rest, it will mess with you. You need a balance and a rhythm in our lives, because what begins to happen is Sabbath rest is that first thing underneath there, is for balance and rhythm and order. Sabbath rest is also where we are reminded of three things. Now, I have one blank. You can fit it in anywhere you want. But we're reminded of three things in our Sabbath rest. Sabbath rest is where we are reminded that this is not it. We were created for eternity. We were made as eternal beings. We were made to spend eternity with the Lord. So, guess what? For every one of us in here, there's going to be a point where we're going to pass from this world. Let me say it another way. Y'all are going to die. And that's not the end for us in Christ. That is the beginning of what we were created to be in the first place, eternal beings. Sin separated us from God and caused death. We were created for eternity. So when we take time for Sabbath rest, we recognize who we really are. The next thing is, we are more than just... Last week, remember I talked about the donuts guy, time to make the donuts? We are more than that. One of the things I share with in my classes, in my philosophy class, is I ask people, you know, you always ask the question, the meaning of life. And the first thing I start out with is a Socrates quote, which Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. And so many of them, as they go through the class, have work through the whole process of I go through life mind-numbing without stopping to analyze what my purpose is here. And after 80 or 78 years or more, am I going to leave something more than just stuff? Am I going to leave an impact on the world, even if it's an impact on my children or on my spouse or on my friends? Am I going to leave an impact in this world that's going to be greater than just those 80 years, say? You know, or 90 or whatever you may have. And so we are more than workers and laborers. We're much more than that as well, although that's a part of us. The other thing that it does is it causes us, the third thing, so the first one is created for eternity, we're more than workers, but it causes us to slow down and be ministered to by God. Slow down and be ministered to by God. Now I want to say this to particularly moms, because moms, you just keep on going. And you will put yourself aside for every child and grandchild and everything else where, you know, I can speak from my experience. Some of you dads may be that way too, but I can speak from my experience too. Like, I got to pick the kids up from where? And the response is, you don't do it that often. You know what I mean? That you will keep on going. I have seen my wife sacrifice sleep, eating. I've seen her sacrifice stuff off her plate. My kids know, do not touch my food. But she will be like the other day we had leftover lasagna that she had made. And the kids are like, I don't know, what do I want? Hey, you got some of that lasagna? I just made it for her. I said, that's hers. Nothing can happen. I would have been like, that's mine. You can have this little taste. There you go. Enjoy. I'm bigger. I pay the bills. Right? But moms will overly sacrifice everything in their lives for their kids. And she's done it for me in her life as well. But I want to say this to you because this number three is especially big for you guys because you need to slow down and be ministered to, not keep ministering to. There are other people I know across this sex lines too, male, female. There are other people that you are just givers, givers, givers. You need to stop and just receive from God at times in Sabbath rest. And we don't do that. So I'm going to share with you a verse that is very important to some of you that are here today. I got to find it here. Let me get the verse. Psalm 91. Now let me say, I had ordered a shirt, the Psalm 91 shirt, but didn't come in. And let me tell you, it's actually spelled wrong. It should be Psalm, not Psalms 91, but that's neither here nor there. But that's been very popular through Ray. So I want you to turn with me, if you will. Psalms is easy to find. It's kind of like in toward the middle, and it's just big. If not, it's up. It's on here, and I will just share with you so everybody knows what goes on and what Ray's wearing on his chest. And here, it's actually my favorite psalm. I don't know whether you have a favorite one, but I do. It's mine. And it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will what? Will what? Rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler snare, from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers. See why Ray likes this? There we go. And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You can ask the Detroit Lions how many times they got hit by Ray. You will trample on the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. And anybody who knows about Ray's history knows he had some trouble, but he recognizes it was God who brought him through. I will deliver him. He says, God has delivered me. And I will honor him, and that's what he's doing, trying to do every week, with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I want everybody to know that, because it's thrown on there, and people just look at it and go, okay, that's wonderful. What does that mean? But one of the things that we see there is there's several things that occur that we find out that's promised. How does this thing start? It starts, I will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. When we look at Psalm 91, when we dwell in God's shelter, there's rest. Actually, the translation is in the secret place of God. So I have two questions. Does anybody have like a place like you like to go? Like where nobody's around and you just like, maybe like a corner of the wall, or maybe like in a shed or a garage, or it may just be like your own little area. Scripturally, they used to talk about prayer closets, and you didn't have like always have like a little room where you went. But one of the things that the Jewish people would do is they have a tallit where they pull across them and over top. And if you've been to Israel or Randallstown or someplace, right? Am I right? You've seen probably these things. And what they do is they pull them over, and it's kind of like your own focus prayer cloth. You wear that as a covering, but you also do it so you focus. And when they pray, they'll rock and pray in a rhythm. So that the focus is completely on God, that you are in your own place dwelling under the Lord. I believe everybody needs a place where a secret place for them and God. Just a secret place for you and God. It could be a room in the house. You know, it could be the bathroom if you got as many people living in your house as I do. You know what I mean? Just some place that you have quiet with you and God. For some of you, it may be in the car. And you may, some of you, it may be a parking lot where you just go and sit. You may have time to walk down Turkey Point and just walk through there and just get alone with God. But when the promise is that we get rest when we dwell in God's shelter. The next thing that we learn is God is a source of safety and strength. That when we dwell, this is all if we dwell under God's covering, if we place ourselves in that secret place where we can hear God, we can talk to God, we can stop the life around us. Calgon, take me away. Remember that commercial? Calgon never took anybody away. But we need a place where we need to get with just the Lord and just hear him on our own. Then we will find safety and strength in our lives with him. The next promise is, the best promise, is after we have those things, we will be lifted up, for he will lift you up and be saved. So many times we don't take time to get to that secret place. Some of us don't even have a secret place where we get alone and hear God and talk to God and just spend time with that in hearing who he is and in sharing what he does. And what we ended up having is we end up never being lifted up out of the miry bog that we're in. And it's like quicksand, and people keep putting weights on us, and we take on more, and we sink. I think of that old hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is what? Sinking sand." And when we put our feet on anything else, it's just going to eventually cause the weight of the world to crush in on us. We heard from Daniel today, who said, "I'm in a leadership position, and I have no clue what I'm doing, and there's some fear that's there, but I do know that he's going to trust in God, because he asked us to pray for him, didn't he? And guess what? It's going to be okay." We go through life at such a fast pace, and all our calendars are so full, we don't know where to stop and where to focus on God and where to deal with anything. So how do I apply this to my life? How do I begin to apply these things to my life? Well, we recognize, and I have it down here twice because I want you to get this, Mark 2:27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So how do we apply this? We need to look at our lives in three ways. It's three modes of time. Anybody know what they are? Three modes of time. There's only three modes of time. I'll give you the first one. You'll get the other two. Past, present, and future. And this is how we need to apply Sabbath. So let's take a look at this. The first thing that we need to experience are Sabbath days. Sabbath days. This was a big concept when I first became a minister, that you had these people that would, on boards of ministry, that would look at you and go, "And when is your Sabbath?" And you'd say, "Never." You know, or you just say something just to get through the question. Because one of the things is, we all feel like we need to be doing things all the time. We need to have a day, a time. Now, I'm going to say, one of the things the church likes to do, and what people like to do, is make it legalistic. Jesus had the problem with the Jewish people at the time. They made it from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. If you're in a high Jewish population, don't expect to buy anything, do anything, or get anything from that time. They will shut down the world during that time. That is Sabbath. And there's a lot of legalistic deals in Israel. When people drive up and down the cars, the Hasidim, the Orthodox Jews, will yell at people going by because driving is working. So we put all this kind of legalistic nature to it. Jesus had problems with them. That's why he said, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. They mixed it up. We at the church are not innocent. Over the history of the church, we have made Sunday our Sabbath, and we have become extremely legalistic about that. Don't walk, don't talk, don't breathe, don't cut your grass, don't talk to anybody. Anybody remember these kind of things and grew up in churches? You don't do anything, you don't exchange money, you don't go shopping, you don't do that. What do you think? Remember how many, here we're going to see how old you are. Anybody remember blue laws? That's what they were for. Okay? That's why Chick-fil-A still isn't open. And he still does a good job because he says, "I want my company to honor God by taking a Sabbath." I don't think that's a bad thing. He just picked Sunday because he wanted people to worship. And by the way, here's a little secret thing. It's not a secret, but I told a disciple the other night, if you take your bulletin in tomorrow and give it to Chick-fil-A, you get a free chicken sandwich every Monday. You guys are like, "Yes, I'm coming to church every week now." Or you're going to be picking through the trash on Monday. But yeah, they'll do that. And if you're like me, you like grilled chicken, you pay like a dollar or something more, and they'll go ahead and give you the grilled chicken. They're really cool. It's part of his deal. So there goes Chick-fil-A chicken. It's all gone now. I've ruined them now. So, but yeah, they've been really big about that because they want people to worship. So, and if you're visiting, grab a bulletin and, you know, go. All right. You guys are really excited about that. And I don't care whatever else you said, Jack. Super Bowl, we don't care. Free chicken, you! Yeah, right? We love free stuff, don't we? And that's why we're talking about these apps. This is a thousands of years old app. And so the first thing is we need these Sabbath days. And when we do this, what happens? During a Sabbath day, when we take Sabbath days, we think about the past and remember. If you're at the pace that I'm at, in my life, I'm running. I come in, I switch gears, I take off this hat, put on that hat, go ahead, walk out the door, put on this one, boom, boom, boom. I'm really glad that I'm somebody who can do a billion different things at once. That's just my nature. That's how I do things. And one of the things about doing that is you never stop and you don't take Sabbath days. Now, when I have been good at that, and I'm not so good now, I'm working on that, when I have taken Sabbath days, it's been an awesome time. I've switched them. It used to be Mondays, then it used to be Wednesdays, and it's never Sundays. Never Sundays for me because I got to work, right? I mean, this is one of the busiest days in my existence, and Monday is very busy. So, you know, I had those kind of conflicts myself. But for you, it may be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know your schedules, but you need to take time to stop and reflect on the week. What we found out is in my family, the only night is Friday night. And so this week, I had work to do, but I just put it aside, and we were just hanging out and sitting there, and the kids were doing their thing, and just we try to get my cheat meal on that night, and, you know, and all this kind of stuff, because that's the time we can just be together without Melissa running, kids running, me running. And it's our time, and I'm going to be very protective of that night, too, because guess what? Somebody's going to want to take it. Okay? And so you've got to be protective of it. Something will try to steal it. And you've got to say, no, this is our night. This is our Sabbath. And what it does, it gives you a chance, when you put that stuff down, it gives you a chance to reflect on the last week. Look at this verse again. Jesus reminded and said, Sabbath was not made for man, was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Because what happens during this day is we get to remember. And I want you to look at this. Remember, it's a combination of remember. If I said to you, dismember, what does that mean? To pull apart. What remember actually means is to literally put back together broken pieces of times, events, and conversations. So when you take Sabbath days, it allows you to stop and look back on that week and put the conversations that you had. You know how many times you walk by somebody who you said, man, I really didn't hear what they were saying. Or an event, you're like, oh, that's what happened there. And put those things together. Sabbath is a time to remember. Isn't that what it says? Remember the Sabbath. Wasn't that the first thing that it said in Exodus? Remember. Put everything back together on the Sabbath. Remember. I live life like I'm in the Millennium Falcon that just hit light speed. And I know you do too. And it's so difficult to experience my life as it goes in real time. That remembering is where I need to stop and put it back together. Number two. So the first thing is Sabbath days. Next thing we have to do is have Sabbath briefs or Sabbath moments. Briefs or moments. During these times, we need to consider the present. Remember I said past, present, future. We need to consider the present and reflect. Now, one of the things I've noticed my wife does, like after working overnight, she'll come in and she'll pull into the driveway and she'll sit. Anybody ever do that? Anybody just pull in the driveway and sit? That is awesome. That is a Sabbath moment. And I've started doing some more of that. Also, when I run, it's kind of like my Sabbath moment because I still hate running, but it's me and I get to veg out and get to think about the present where I am. But I hate it, but I don't anymore. I'm like that. I'm at the weird point. For me, one of the things, and for you, it may be just the time and night. After dinner, we just get to sit and nothing. But I've started to do that. As I've been planning for this, I started to do that. Just pull in and sit in my car. Turn off the radio and just kind of sit. And in doing so, it's really cool because guess what? I know when I get out of that car and I walk in the house, some are going to be happy to see me. Some are going to have issues. Some are going to need rescue. The dog's going to attack me. Because they're so happy to see me. And with the puppy, I got to make sure she doesn't pee on the floor and get her outside. Isn't it cool to be that excited to see somebody that you just pee yourself, you know? I mean, I don't know if anybody came into church and said, there's Jack, woo, oh, I got to go, you know? But, you know, I mean, that makes you feel loved, doesn't it, you know? Isn't that great, you know? So, but usually I walk in the door and I've got this major, daddy, you know? Yeah. Can I put my stuff? And sometimes I just walk in like mind numb. I ignore everybody. And I go and I put stuff down. And then I get myself ready. Come on. Daddy, this happened last week, Emma Gale. She always has her iPod and has a Bible on it, and she loves it. You know, it's like her connection to life. And she dropped it, and the screen stopped working. Right, you know? Thankfully, we had one of those replacement plans. Woohoo! Great thing to buy. But I had to spend all afternoon Sunday making sure all that was taken care of. And Melissa and I tag teamed and got it ordered, and now it's like, is it here yet? Is it here yet? Is it here yet? Is it here yet? No, it's not here. Is it here yet? No, it'll be here Tuesday. Well, maybe it'll be early. Is it here yet? Is there any way? This morning was, is there any way it can still come today? No. You know, and we go through this kind of thing. That is a major issue, because that's her life. There's Hannah's losing her tooth. So last night, while I'm trying to get work done, we had this major issue of a tooth. And where's mommy when you need her? She just says, let me take a look, reaches up and grabs it and yanks it out, and it's all over with. I go ahead and try to pull it because I promised her I wouldn't yank it. And I pull it, and she's like, no! And I'm like, okay, I'm done. Go to bed. Here's some Motrin. Enjoy. You know, that's dad. I know they need me. But they don't need me how I am when I'm worn out, when I'm frustrated, when they open their mouth and I say, shut up. You know, when I say, when I'm just like in this mode. And so those Sabbath briefs and Sabbath moments allow me time to get me together to be who I need to be to them and to everybody else. You know, sometimes you'll get a phone call and you see who it is and you need to take a Sabbath moment before you answer that. Right? Because if not, you're going to be on the other end going, ah, right? You all do it. You see my number and say, the preacher's calling, I'm not answering that one, you know? You know, we need these times. You may have that point at, you know, a lot of times when the kids go to bed, I'll take that, and Melissa's in bed, I'll take that hour or so before I have to go to bed myself and just kind of allow me to say, here's the present and what's going on right here, right now. It sets me up to succeed in life when we embrace those things. Okay, another one. This is our Sabbath. Number three is our Sabbath sabbatical. We have days, we have times, moments, briefs, and we have sabbatical. Now, this is a little interesting. Sabbaticals are things that historically have been in the church. Like a lot of times you'll see, I've seen pastors take sabbaticals, and I'm like, how do you do that? I've never taken one in my life. I love the idea of it. But the also professors will take sabbaticals. More and more you have people that will take sabbaticals, but it just seems like it's prevalent in the higher education field. And as I look at this, I said, what is a sabbatical for? A sabbatical. It's not just a time to go kick back and chill on the beach somewhere and, you know, things. Here's what a sabbatical does. A sabbatical helps you dream about the future and plan for your future. So often we are, you can't see the forest because of the trees. And you're kind of like, remember that old movie, that Blair Witch Project, where they're walking around in the same woods forever? I was like, just follow the stream, get out, you know? Sometimes you can't see that because you are so lost in your own existence. You're just, and you can't see the future. If I ask you, what are you going to do today? You can figure that out, am I right? If I ask you, what are you going to do next week? Let me say, what are you going to do? Where are you going to be and what are you going to do 5 years from now? What about 10? What about 20? We have problems seeing that. But you know why? Because we don't take time to plan it. You ever gone back to your high school yearbook and look at your senior superlatives and find out, you know, where you say, in 5 years I'll be here, in 10 years I'll be here, in 20 years? And you ever compared that to where you are now? If you're like me, it's completely different than where I thought I was. You know why? Because I just wrote it down so I could get people to sign my book. And I always make myself look really good. But we need, when we stop and we plan and we take time to do that. Before I started this church and really started getting together, I took off much of the month of December. I took off much of the weeks from where I was. I knew I was leaving, and I preached on Christmas Eve. But I needed that time to begin to focus on this here. I wouldn't have been ready to start. I wouldn't have been ready to start if I hadn't taken that time away in order to see where God needed me to be. A sabbatical is not a vacation, but I believe that everyone, every few years, should take a week or two away just to kind of focus on their future. The Bible's clear about sabbatical days and sabbatical years that, you know, you plant crops for so long and then you don't plant the same ones after that. You rotate crops. You know why they do that? Because the earth needs a sabbatical from them. Some of the questions that you'll ask during a sabbatical are like this: where is my life aiming? So often we just head in the direction. But do you ever ask, where is my life aiming? Where is it headed? What am I looking at? Where's my life headed and what's it going to end up? If I continue in the pattern that I am in, where am I going to end up? There's a great person. One of my favorite people in the world is a guy named Viktor Frankl. Anybody ever heard of Viktor Frankl? Wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. One of the most awesome, purposeful books. He was a doctor of psychology and philosophy, I believe. He was in Auschwitz, survived, and he writes a book about his experience about how even in the darkest circumstances, there's this will to survive. And Viktor Frankl once, and I have a picture of Viktor Frankl up here too somewhere. Viktor Frankl gave a speech, and you can actually see it on YouTube, and he talked about that he was an older gentleman. He said, even at my old age, I wanted to do something, and I wanted to learn how to fly. And he said, so what I wanted to do is, you know, my instructor told me something interesting. He said, if I wanted to go here, and let's pretend this is where I'm headed. He said, if I wanted to head to this, being novice, I assume that I just head in that direction to this one. He said, but what's interesting is because of if I just assume I'm going to end up there, what ends up happening is because of tailwinds and headwinds, if I head this way and I think I'm headed there, I actually end up here. And he said, so in order to get where I feel like I need to be in life or I want to be, I've got to aim higher. And he said, that is the goal of the human, to not look at yourself as what you think you need to be, but look at yourself as higher. And one of the things we need to start looking at ourselves is, we are more than workers. We were made for eternity. We are God's children, and that makes us kings and queens and prince and princesses in the kingdom of God. And when we aim higher as children of God and not accept what the world gives us, this busy life that keeps us away from our daddy, then, maybe then, we'll hit the mark that God intends for us and not fall short. What does sin mean? Falling short of the mark of God. And that's what we do when busyness invades our lives and we don't take sabbatical and we don't take Sabbath days and we don't take Sabbath times. Frankl said, in order to get to your destination, I have it printed here, in a headwind, you have to aim higher than your goal. If you aim just at the target, you will achieve lower than you expect. So often in life, we have a target, but we head even lower than the target. And we wonder why we don't make it. It's not because God doesn't desire that in our lives. It's because he wants that in our lives. A sabbatical helps us dream and focus on the bullseye. You know, you and I may be off for a few weeks and a few days, and it may not matter. But if you are off that mark in your life, we're going to end up someplace else where we don't want to be. Get in on God's plan. Hang in there and ask him where he needs you. Balance the busyness of your life. There was a driver's ed teacher, you guys who took it at Northeast. What was his name? Huh? No? He took it. He had a southern accent? I forget it. Huh? Buchanan, Mr. Buchanan, who said it? You get the gold? Did you get it, Michelle? Who did? Mr. Buchanan, you remember him? Mr. Buchanan, he was great. And Mr. Buchanan, I remember when he taught driver's ed, he told a story about how he was driving along with a driver one time, and they were looking at a tree. Or they were looking at a parked car, and he said, before you know it, you know how they have the other brake, emergency brake on their side, and they just keep hitting it because they're scared to death? He said he was watching the person, and the person kept going to it, and he slammed on the brakes. They almost hit it. And the person said, I was watching it. I thought I was going straight down the road. One of the most important things that we see is we got to keep our eyes fixed on what's important. And if we look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, which is printed on the bottom of your Scripture. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that set before him, enduring the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. During this time, this Sabbath moment, I want you to take this time as a Sabbath moment. I want you to go ahead and look at your life. And I want you to ask what your eyes are fixed on. Are you juggling life? You feel like you're constantly doing this? Or you're like that guy who spins plates? You ever seen those guys? They spin plates and then they run over here and they spin plates and they spin plates. Spin plates. You can't keep that up forever. You can do it for a while. I can't even juggle in real life. I'm going to tell you, you are all going too fast. And in the you, I look in the mirror. We're all going too fast, aren't we? We are all going way, way too fast in life. Parents, I want to tell you something. Self-care is not selfish. It's healthy. We need to take care of ourselves because we are shaping our children's views of life further on. You are helping point the children to where you are pointing. We're not perfect. We just need to recalibrate and fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so as the praise team comes forward today, just look at your busyness. I know some is hard because of the way this world is this year, but I want you to just remember the old Roy Rogers commercial where they go in, slow down, cowpoke, all right? I watch a lot of television as a kid and still do as an adult when I get a chance. But, just slow down, cowpoke. Slow down. Slow down and just, the old saying, stop and smell the roses. All right? And today, enjoy more than the game, regardless of the outcome. Enjoy the people that you're with. You might have somebody playing banjo in a speedo, like in that video. And have a great time. Let's stand as I pray today. Lord God, we just come to you today. Sabbath rest is a lost art in our world, and why shouldn't it be? Because Satan wants to keep us away from you. He doesn't want us to take moments and be good husbands, wives, fathers, children, parents, all that kind of stuff. God, workers, he doesn't want that. God, it's so hard at times to remember because some of those things, and when we remember, we don't want to remember. We just are blazing by and we have to really stop and think. But help us put those situations back together so that we can see how your hand has been in our lives. And God, as we come to this Sabbath moment here today on this Super Sunday, excited about gatherings and parties and all kinds of other things. And I got a call this morning that my youngest is sick, throwing up, and I'm like, oh, there goes the evening. God, just help me be the dad he needs. Help me be the pastor that is needed here. Help me be the instructor for the young people of today and tomorrow. But most of all, God, help me be who you want me to be. And that's your prayer for all of us. Let us fix our eyes on you and just stop and recognize that we have a daddy in heaven who loves us. That regardless of what circumstance, he's there for us. We thank you for the miracles that were shared here today and the joys. And God, we reach out to other people who are suffering. Kathy Sullivan, who was in an accident, and her children. Thank you for protecting them. And also the young person, God, who is at fault. Just be with them and just have them refocus their life because it's not on you. God, all these things we ask and we claim in your name.